Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Time for TV on the radio.
一番初めにご自分のお洋服をすべて
Take all the clothes from everywhere in the house and pile it into one big fountain.
Oh.
Right now? Rachel, here.
And now.
Kevin, in the living room. All of your clothes, right now.
Oh,
every single piece.
Okay, hold on. I'm grabbing everything from my closets.
Closet.
And putting it in here.
And your drawers.
Yes, the bed would be great. Just pull it out.
Okay.
And let's create a pile.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
The important is to hold each item one by one.
Okay, oh my gosh.
When you touch the item that sparks joy for you,
okay.
And you feel cute.
Okay,
cute.
Okay.
All of your cells are rising.
Yes, okay, wow.
Wow. If you thought tidying up was boring, now a show about tidying up. James Dempsey joins us once again. That's our first show we're talking about. It's Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. All episodes of that are streaming on Netflix. Watty McWatt?
Yeah. So this is, I don't know, it's quite indefinable because shows about tidying up houses exist, but usually those houses are like owned
extreme,
by extreme hoarders with like filth and, you know, absolute... Just manky things lying around all over the place. This is more people struggling with clutter rather than like filth and hoarding tendencies. And it is all sort of championed around the philosophy of this Japanese woman named Marie Kondo, whose book, The Magical, I think, like Life-Changing Magic, I think, of Tidying Up, has been on my bookshelf for about 7 years unread and has failed to spark enough joy in me and yet has moved between three different houses, right? Because the idea she has is that we all amass too much stuff and then we all sort of just leave it all lying around or secrete it in drawers and out of sight, out of mind, and suddenly the pile grows ever bigger, bigger, bigger. And then her philosophy is that with a tidy life, you can have like a perfect life. You know, with a tidy house, you can have a perfect life, which runs very, it's the antithesis of my mother's, who had a picture on the wall of our house for years saying dull people have immaculate houses.
So, good for her.
So I'm not buying into the KonMari method, which is what it's called. Tidying Up with Marie Kondo seems like a very apt title for this because she seemingly has made an absolute fortune out of this concept.
Okay.
And people are very, I think lots of people are very intrigued by the idea of having control of everything in the house and a place for everything and knowing how to fold things. And that, for me, is also a tantalizing experience because I was watching this show while moving house, where you have to confront every single belonging you own, and it is a very confronting experience. Mm. Her philosophy is to take hold of your items, as she said in the clip, and if they spark joy, you feel that ching or whatever noise she makes, then you keep it. And if it doesn't, you get rid of it, which is a perfectly fine philosophy. It doesn't necessarily make for good television, right?
No, it's also a stupid philosophy. There's no, like, I mean, you hold up like a bottle of Dettol. I mean, you're going to go like joy, but you need it.
Okay, so she breaks it down into five different categories, right? They are basically, you start with clothes. Clothes, and you take all of your pieces of clothing, you pile them on in a pile, you pick them up. If they spark joy, you fold them in a very specific sort of origami-like quality so that when they go into a drawer, they're standing in this sort of domino-type array so that you can see everything in your drawer.
Okay.
And you know it. And it's lovely. Like, don't get me wrong, it is all, like, it look for anyone who likes neatness or order or kind of that mindfulness of very gently patting your clothes and thanking them for the job they do.
Oh, yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah.
Right? It's grist to the mill, right? It is like perfect TV viewing. The problem for me is I sort of got all of that I needed in 40 minutes, right? Mm. And then there were like another 9 episodes of it to go. Right, so there are like, I think about 10 episodes. And because the format of the show is these very nice middle class people in slightly different variations of living. And by that I mean the first one is kind of a couple with two toddlers. And the second episode is about empty nesters. And the third episode might be about a woman whose husband has passed away maybe a year ago.
Okay.
So they're not, you know, the differences in their lives, while personally to them are quite important and significant, as a viewer, it's a lot of the same, right? It's a lot of, let's pile your clothes, let's very politely pile your clothes in a pile, ching, sparks joy, keep it. Dump, I don't know, yeah. whatever noise for not yeah. sparking joy, toss it out, right? In fact, my favourite episode was actually one in which she was helping this male couple who are two comedy writers living in Los Angeles. And the reason why I liked it so much was because one of them was so clearly not into the method at all. He was going like, nothing, what? Like, this isn't sparking joy. What do I keep? What do I dump? Kind of thing. And it was quite enjoyable to watch him just sort of say, mm-hmm, yeah, sure, as the process goes along. What I think this show really should just be is a series of YouTube videos that I know already exist that shows you how to fold things. Because yeah. at the end of the day, that's all I want to know. How to fold the bedsheet, yeah. how to fold the jumper, how to fold the socks.
It doesn't sound like, because often in real, you know, if it's a cooking show, there's some degree of jeopardy or tension. Will they cook it right? Or you know, when they do go through the makeover, will they look like a tart of some sort? Is there any of that? Really, or do they get to fold their underpants properly?
So they, Marie returns every now and again, along with her translator, Mary Aida, who comes, because Marie Kondo only speaks a sort of a limited amount of English, which is its own interesting thing for an American, you know, for a very American, we'll say, made show, that there's a lot of subtitles and a lot of Japanese and a lot of interpretation. But to answer your question, is there any jeopardy? Not really. This is sort of this is coming at you from that kind of niceness frame of mind that works extremely well in The Great British Bake Off, because there is jeopardy, because someone gets eliminated and it's a competition. Here, it's just sort of beautiful and serene calmness, right? That's what that is what her cleaning philosophy is supposed to bring into your life. This idea of serenity and mindfulness and sort of a whole, you know, just wellness, all these kind of new age concepts of making money, right?
And they don't go back to them 6 months later and they're living in their own filth again or any of that kind of stuff.
Marie basically spends, she spends roughly a month with them, but dipping in and out and visiting over time and sort of explaining her fivefold methods. So sorry, she begins with the clothes, then moves on to the books. After the books, it's papers and like magazines, things like that. Then it's miscellany, which is also known as komono, but not kimono in Japanese. And then finally, sentimental items, which you are to leave to the end because they are the hardest ones to get rid of. So you are supposed to perfect the sparking of joy before you get to those. So
okay, that you know, of course you are, yeah.
So you know how, you know the ropes by the time it comes to be brutal with the picture of your granny, right? So, yeah, there's no tension, right? They don't return in 6 months to see how well they have kept up the concept, but they do sort of implore how wonderful this philosophy is, implying almost that it could save your marriage, that it could, you know, bring a renewed sense of self-worth and all these kinds of things. I don't know. Like, for me, the biggest questions I had while watching the show is, what is the environmental impact of the Marie Kondo method?
Yeah.
Because you dump half your stuff. And secondly, it doesn't really sort of inform you how to move on afterwards. So you get up to this point of tidying your house, so you reach this, you know, new point of equilibrium, but going forward, every single time you go into a shop, are you supposed to be seeing if something sparks joy before you purchase it or not?
Now, I'm maybe taking a guess here, but if she doesn't like clutter, then she probably wouldn't like a bookshelf, for instance.
So this is, I mean, this is the biggest controversy that has surrounded the show. And I mean, to say they're making a mountain out of a molehill here is overstating it. In one of the episodes, actually the episode specifically that I mentioned about the two guys who are living together in Los Angeles, they have a lot of books and she is encouraging them to spark joy amongst the books and keep the ones that are really meaningful to you and give to a charity shop or whatever the other ones. And this has become a bit of a bugbear on the internet, particularly on Twitter, for people who are sort of like, I mean, fetishizing the owning of books as if it is the, you know, as if they are the Alexander's library, like themselves, right? This idea that you have to have every single book you've ever owned on your shelf forever. I'm actually the opposite. I'm a Kondo acolyte when it comes to books. If I'm not going to read it again, it's gone from my house.
But, right, okay, but there's something that she and you don't get about a wall of books. There's an aesthetic thing in and of itself.
And I can
tell
you...
Plus also rereading books, this can be.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I read a lot of books that I'm never going to read again in my life.
Yeah.
And
you don't know that.
that I aspire to never read again in my life. And I aspire not to have to clean dust off them on my shelf either.
Okay. Well, I thought she was a harmless chancer. Now I think she's a monster. is Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. That's all those episodes are on Netflix. Couple of bit of TV news. And there's a few more details about the new Picard Star Trek series that's going to be apparently available at the end of this year.
Yes, so I'm going to tell people to be patient with me because my knowledge of Star Trek lore is somewhat limited. But my understanding is when J.J. Abrams rebooted the movie, they created a new Star Trek universe where there were simultaneously, we'll say, two Captain Kirks and having separate adventures with similar lives, right?
No.
No?
No, a different timeline.
Oh, a different timeline.
Sparked by a particular event.
But working in different universes, we'll say. Sorry. There's Captain Kirk A and Captain Kirk B.
Well, yes, in the TV series, it would be Captain Kirk A.
Yes.
But in the J.A. Abrams film series, it's Captain Kirk. It's because Vulcan, Spock's homeworld, has been destroyed in the J.A. Abrams series.
Yes, Grant.
Please don't text him and say, oh my God, that's such a spoiler. This film was, you know, 10 years ago.
At least.
Anyway.
And Captain Picard is belonging to Captain Kirk A.
He is actually, yeah, but it seems as if the TV series is actually following on from the events in the J.A. Abrams.
Gotcha. Okay,
film
so
series.
I see. So now there's also. Yeah. This is very confusing.
Yeah, so he's actually not playing the same Picard he was in the TV series. He's playing a different Picard, even though he looks and acts exactly the same as this Picard and might have had a very similar story, but it's slightly different.
Gotcha.
Because
and
Vulcan
now it's
doesn't
right.
exist.
And it's, so fine. So it was known that a TV show with Jean-Luc Picard was coming back to television, and rumor was rife that it was going to be a Next Generation reboot, and it is not going to be a Next Generation reboot. I think it's going to be more of a solo adventure for Captain Picard.
It's interesting actually because it could be completely different. It could have no relation whatsoever to the Next Generation,
although we'll inevitably have some throwbacks and fan servicing as well because that is part of it.
Jonathan Frakes will probably be pop up someplace given that he's directing a lot of these things.
Well, he definitely will.
If one thinks like Star Trek is far fetched, this is completely far fetched. ABC wants Meghan Markle to go back to Suits for a cameo type.
Essentially,
thing.
Yeah. Obviously, Suits is what brought her to not worldwide fame, but I suppose a recognizable face around the world. And she has since gone on to become more recognizable on account of her marriage and upcoming birth of an heir to the throne. But essentially, the creators of Suits have said that they really want to get her back for even just a cameo in an episode. Her character, Rachel Zane, was sort of written out by going off and getting married. And they want to create a sort of a tying up loose ends episode in which Rachel is shown living in England, having born a child and living it up
in this rather large house.
And in order to sort of tempt Meghan Markle back into the fold, which obviously is a very difficult thing to do on account of her about to become a mother and also presumably getting permission, is that they are going to wave a very large figure in front of her that they will donate to charity.
Yeah.
The other thing that they have said is that they will also fly to England and film in one day and one afternoon the, handful of scenes and shots that they need to do in order to do this. Now, this was also reported in the Daily Mail, so I would take this with a massive grain of salt. If this happens, we're living in the other Picard universe.
I know, if it happens,
universe.
Best publicity stunt ever.
Definitely.
Right, we've two more shows to talk about after this.
A lot of people know me as the Lip Queen because of my technique with doing a lip filler. I'm a particularly slow injector. The lady that's coming in now is actually going to have a lip filler done. Kylie Jenner, people talk about her. That did kick off the Instagram lip. The young girls get it done and they look in the mirror and it makes them look prettier if it's done properly. But nowadays, if you're in your 40s, 50s, I get people in their 70s coming in for a lip filler. I've even done a lady in her 80s because she had a drop in her mouth. If I lifted her lip, she wasn't spilling her tea when she drank it.
That's a clip from One Day. It's running on Mondays at 9:30 on RTE1. Of course, you can catch up on the RTE player. It's an intriguing idea.
It is, yeah. And it's actually something that I think takes a lot of inspiration from a show in 2016. I actually looked up when it had aired. It was a four-part show called Keeping Ireland Alive. And as this is Keeping Ireland Beautiful, I think there's some service to that. And that was about the Irish Health Service across one day in, you know, in Ireland, and covering every sort of imaginable aspect of it. And was, I think, one of the best pieces of TV I watched in 2016, and was on my list of like best TV shows of the year when I used to write those kinds of lists, right? So this is cut from the same cloth, except the first episode was about the beauty industry and fitness industry as well. And it follows the same kind of pattern in that it explores multiple different avenues under this theme across a single day in Ireland. And this is like perfect, easy TV viewing. It's kind of very pleasant, easy watching. I kind of likened it to sort of a slightly Gogglebox Ireland effect. And one of the things I really like about Gogglebox Ireland is that it shows, you know, different families and households across the entire country that we don't normally hear, because obviously we would say that media is often very Dublin-centric.
Yeah.
And it's nice to hear voices from Limerick or voices from Galway or voices from wherever. And you get the same with this. You got, you know, people, you got what we heard there is the woman, I think she's based in Dublin, who's doing the lip fillers. But we also got, you know, a hairstylist in Ballyborough in Cavan, and a trainer in Howth, which admittedly isn't that far away, and other places in that now, of course, I can't remember. But I think probably the standout of the show, at least in that kind of real charming, kind of easy, very funny to watch kind of way, was a man who makes dentures. I can't even remember where he was, which is particularly bad. But he was just really funny, really. He had great one-liners. And like, he had like a sweet jar full of used dentures that you could buy in his shop window, which he had actually sold, I think, or at least said he had sold a pair of at one point. And it just had great colour, you know?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
While watching this, I didn't realise, I was watching it and I knew it was a three-part documentary. And I was kind of going, where are they going to go in episodes 2 and 3 here when it comes to beauty? So I was actually, I was quite heartened to learn that they're abandoning the beauty industry for the next one. The next one is going to be, I think, Keeping Ireland Tidy. And the following, the last one of the three is Showing Off Ireland. So the second one is, I think, about like cleaners and waste management and stuff. And the final is obviously about tourism. And I think they're very good and well chosen topics, because we all, you know, see tour guides. I've been a tour guide, and I know like it can be a very fascinating thing to watch these things from the periphery. And cleaning Ireland is just something that we, you know, we take for granted. So it's actually often very fascinating to learn the ins and outs of these kind of industries.
And there's a whole industry going on at night as well, cleaning offices and all the rest of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, what I would say as a criticism, and I'm only finding a criticism because, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? is that it took quite a very simplistic and positive look at the beauty industry.
Okay.
There wasn't like, if
it's
you're
not
looking,
really supposed to be an investigation.
Right, if you're looking
though.
For like dispatches or some like hard-hitting piece of investigative journalism, look elsewhere, because you're not going to find it here, right? This is nice. And I don't want to damn with faint praise, which I am wont to do. This is just nice, very pleasant and fun, colourful television. I enjoyed it a lot.
And that's an idea, I imagine, that could be adapted to many areas of Irish life. So it's a very clever idea. Well done. Right, okay, our final show today, something I suppose a lot of people out there have been looking forward to, the final series of Catastrophe. It started on Channel 4 on Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Here's a clip.
I'm going to drive. Sorry, forgot. Not allowed to, because you're a drunk driver and a fugitive.
I'm not a fugitive. I turned myself in.
You didn't turn yourself in. If you could have run away from the scene of the accident, I'm 100% confident you would have. You wish you were a fugitive. You were arrested, so you're a criminal. Criminal in a neck brace. What a f***ing catch.
There you go. Now, I suppose there's something about Catastrophe that I kind of, in the last series, it struck me that, you know, I think they got some fairly serious issues to deal with, but they still kind of deal with them in this kind of rather jolly way, really, you know, whereas nobody cries or gets really snotty upset.
I will say, I watched the final episode of the third season, we'll say, and I watched the first episode of this on Tuesday, just to kind of refresh my palate. And in the final episode of the third season, well, spoiler alert for anyone who doesn't want to know, but block your ears for a second. Sharon is burying her father, which is like a serious thing. And Rob is succumbing to his own alcoholism, right? And these are not lighthearted, jolly sitcom tropes. And it got me thinking a lot when I started watching the second or the first episode of the final season, in which he is dealing with the outcome of a car crash as a result of that. And she is sort of frustrated with his involvement therein. That often with catastrophe, it's not that it's laugh out loud funny. It's not, you know, set a punchline. It's, you know, it's not that kind of broad American sitcom that we know and like. Mm. It is really an anti-sitcom, but it has so much charm in its two, you know, protagonists.
Yes,
they
yes.
bring such Absolutely. An ease and warmth to their relation. They have just really good chemistry. Like, and I mean that in the sense that, like, you know, the first episode ends in quite a racy manner, but it's not racy at all. It's actually quite perfunctory,
yeah.
but it's still somewhat like romantic and ordinary and kind of weird in its own right.
Yeah.
And it works because of this sort of chemistry that they have between the pair of them. Now, I also started to think, like, this is the final season. They have to do some kind of, I suppose, introduce some kind of drama and tension that they'll then need to wrap up. And also they're going to have to deal with how they're going to cover the loss of Carrie Fisher, who was Rob's mother yeah. in the show, outside of the show. And there was no mention of that anyway in the first episode, but I presume they cannot not yeah. refer to it because she had quite a large part in the show. But I sort of stopped to think about the legacy of a show like this, and, you know, will catastrophe live on in, like, our hearts and minds as it's this kind of very important or significant TV show? I don't think it'll have loads and loads of repeats, simply because of the adult nature. Like, in that very brief clip there, we had two curse words blocked yeah. out. And as a whole, it is quite adult and racy. So it's not going to be on E4 at 5 o'clock at night. It's yeah. not going to be on Comedy Central. Maybe it will be at like midnight, but not earlier than that, because it's not like an easy filler in the schedules. But it is really clever and really whip smart. And when it's gone, I'll be sad to see it go, but I'll be glad that they left, I think, when they were still at the top of their game. And that's early. It's early to be saying that now, but based on the first episode, I thought it was just clever, really funny, really charming.
Yeah, and of those, I suppose, because we're living through an era where there's a whole thing, kind of comedies that aren't that funny comedies.
Yes.
This is probably one of the finest examples
yes,
of that.
Yes, because it is funny, even though it isn't funny.
Funny, yeah, but it's not like that knockabout fall
yes,
around the place.
Yes.
Now, when this is all over, I hope Rob Delaney gets some work out of this, because Sharon is everywhere.
She's everywhere.
You could almost argue she's stretched a bit too thin, yeah. or perhaps she's being used as a kind of a brand thing. You know,
yeah.
Sharon Horgan just walked through the set and they'll say, you know, executive producer.
I think she runs her own production company, which yeah. is very prolific in its output yeah. and mostly successful in its output as well. As for Rob, I'm not quite as sure as what he's doing. All I know for certain is that he's down to star in Fair and Balanced, which is a movie from Jay Roach about the sort of the Fox Roger Ailes sexual harassment type trial or whatever.
Yeah.
I couldn't make out what role he has in it, but that's what he's next down for. But he has become, I think he moved to England in order to star in this, and has somewhat become kind of a bit of a British darling, in that he champions the NHS, and he's been very public in his grieving and yeah. written lots of sort of personal essays that I think the people in the UK, they've really taken him to heart. So I doubt he'll be without work for long if he's looking.
Yeah, he was in Deadpool too, apparently.
He was in Deadpool 2 as well, in a really good kind of cameo role. He was great.
Okay, I'll let one pass me by. Right, okay, well, I'm delighted the standard has been maintained. I'm sure a lot of people who haven't watched it yet or saving it for the weekend feel the same. James Dempsey, thanks a million. We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.